Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. Tonight is live, but then I always say you never know if it is or not, because when I'm not here, they're doing the archive. But it's always a toss-up, am I here or am I not? But it is live tonight, so if anyone wants to call in, I will give out the toll-free number, so if anyone wants to call in and ask any questions. It's 1-888-815-9756. 1-888-815-9756. That's the toll-free number. And tonight I don't have a guest, so I'll just be talking. So it would be good if somebody wanted to call in and just ask some questions. Because I always say I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But then I've got so much information, usually when I start going, it comes from somewhere. So there's always something that I can bring up. I do have a couple of new things that I want to talk about. But if anyone does want to call in tonight, feel free to do it. I think it'll take some of the pressure off of me anyway. But I've been gone. I've missed three shows in July because I finally went on vacation. And for me, that's very rare to just drop everything and get to go somewhere. Because we're so busy all the time. And we really needed this, everyone in the office. You know, my daughters went with me. And we were just building up to where there's so much stress and so much work that I think everybody out there can identify with that. It's really looking forward to getting away from it all and having a vacation. And we decided this year we wanted to go on a cruise. Now, I've been on cruises before, but they were always working cruises where I had to lecture, give workshops, and there was always people on there who knew you, and you couldn't really get away and be by yourself. So I made up my mind about a year ago. I said, I'm just going to go somewhere, go on a cruise where I don't have to work. We can just have a good time, and there won't be anybody to ask questions and things like that, you know, just to get away from it all. Kind of be ordinary people will change. Because every time I go anywhere, it's always, you know, with audiences and things like that. But because we had the conference, that was a lot of stress, and it took a lot of work to get that together. And then after that, we had to go to the class I did in Colorado Springs and up to the INES, the trade show conference in Denver. So it was just build-up work. And right before we left even, I was seeing clients, and I had one in particular who was a very difficult case. So I know when I came home, I said, I'm really ready for this vacation. So we decided a year ago we were going to take a cruise, and we decided to go to Alaska, because I've been to Alaska to lecture, but I've never been there on a cruise, and that would be different than going to the Caribbean. So we went to Alaska, and we started out, we made arrangements. We met our really, really good friends from New Zealand. They came over to the States. And we met up with him in Seattle so we could all go together. And so that just made it really nice because, you know, just get to lay back and with friends and enjoy yourself. One thing I like about cruises is that everything is done for you. 24-hour food. I keep saying, are they afraid we're not going to get enough to eat? Because there's food everywhere all the time, and it's just constant. And but this way you don't have to cook it. You just stand in line and get it, or you have the sit down dinners, and you're waited on, and your room is taken care of. It's just really get away from it all. Don't have to do anything. That's my idea of a real vacation. I think it's different than a resort or just traveling and staying at a hotel. So it was really nice. So we met up with our friends and left Seattle, and it went up the coast up to Alaska. And it was cold once you got up that way. We stopped in Ketchikan, I think is how you pronounce it. And then we went up to the Hubbard Glacier, which is up much further. And it was very cold, but it was beautiful. But it's the biggest glacier in, it's the biggest one in North America. I don't know, remember what they said, how it ranks with the world. But it's huge wall of ice. And it was beautiful the way it was a blue. And people were thinking it was reflecting off the water. But I don't think so. I think that's the color of the ice. So we went up there, and the ship went as close as he could to the wall of ice, the glacier. And he was just circling so that everybody could get a good look at the glacier. And that was really nice. And then we came back, stopped in Juneau. And you know, it's interesting that that's the capital of Alaska, but yet there are no roads going in and out of there at all. Forget about highways. They said there isn't even any roads. The only way to get in and out of Juneau is by air or by sea. So it looked to me like just about everybody had seaplanes, the little small seaplanes. Just be about as popular as a car, I guess, because that'd be the only way they could go anywhere. And they all had boats. But it's strange to think of just a city right there on the coast of Alaska. And the just the wilderness behind it, just trees as far as you could see and mountains. And they said it was totally impenetrable, that there was no way to get anywhere, no roads, no highways, nothing. It's just total wilderness, the back of the city. That's hard to believe when you live down here on the lower 48, anyway. But it was not what I was expecting. Before, when I flew into Fairbanks and Anchorage, it was different. But this is on the coast with no way in or out unless you fly or unless you come in by sea. And I know when I was up there before, they talked about how cold it got into winters. And they would have just total night in some places where it's just dark all the time. And the cold was so bad, they said even to go outside for a few minutes, you could freeze. So it's not exactly my ideal place that I would want to live. But, you know, for the ones who are there, they probably think it's wonderful and it's home. So that's the main thing. But it's not exactly my idea of where I would want to be. I like where I am here in the Ozarks because we have four seasons. And it's never too hot or never too cold for any length of time. So I guess I'm spoiled. We have the beautiful scenery, but we don't have to have the extremes like they do up there. But it was really nice. And so we came back from that. And I was only back a few days. Oh, one good thing when you're like that, we were totally out of touch with the office. They couldn't phone us. And we could have email if you wanted to go down to where they had the computers. But we just told them, just don't even try to contact us. We're just going to be out of touch and enjoy ourselves. So we were totally cut off. So we came back from the cruise and only home a few days, and I had to have my class in Fayetteville. My hypnosis class. So we haven't really stopped working since we got back anyway, but I'm really glad we had that time off. I had the class, and now we're getting ready in another couple of weeks. On the 20th of August, I'll be taking a month-long trip. I've got three out-of-the-country trips coming up before the end of this year, and the whole year is going to be gone before I know it. I don't know how in the world it got to be August so fast. But the 20th of August, I'm going to South Africa. And on this trip, it's the first time I've ever got a round-the-world ticket because we're going to be going all the way around the world, starting here in Arkansas and going across the Atlantic and ending up back across the Pacific back here again. So it'll be a complete round-the-world trip. I've been asked to come to Johannesburg in South Africa, and I've never been there. The only place in Africa I've ever been has been in the Middle East when I went to Dubai. Everybody says, have you been on all the continents of the world? And I said, well, I have, but I've never been on the southern part of Africa. So now that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to Johannesburg, be doing a class there, lectures and book signings. And then they wanted me to go down to Cape Town, which is south of Johannesburg. So I'll be doing some lectures and book signings down in Cape Town. So it'll be my first time to get in there, but I don't think it's going to be my last, because every time I go somewhere, they always want me to come back and give them more information, because we have more and more stuff that's coming in all the time. So, you know, I'm not running out of material, that's for sure. So I found then that I can go direct from Johannesburg to Perth in Australia. So I'm going to go there after the Cape Town trip. I'll go on directly to Perth, where I'll be doing the Conscious Living Expo with Patricia Hamilton. I've been done that many, many times. And we're also going to be doing another hypnosis class there. Last November was the largest class I've ever taught was there. We had 91 students. It was tremendous. And they were still trying to sign up after we'd already begun the class. So we're going to see now how many are going to be there this time. But we're doing it again in Perth. I guess the gremlins have been playing with the phone again. I was right in the middle of talking, and all of a sudden the phone started ringing. And I said, that can't be doing that if I'm on the air. And the people in the studio said, all of a sudden I just dropped off the air. So I wonder what's going on. My little gremlins, are they playing with the phone again or what? That hasn't happened for quite a while. You know, I sit here and I talk to myself, I talk to the wall, and I never know if it's going out or not. So let's hope there won't be any more trouble anyway. I can't remember where I was now. They said it just dropped off all of a sudden. But I was talking about the trip, and I'm going to South Africa, Johannesburg, Cape Town, then on to Perth, where I'll be doing another class and the Conscious Living Expo. I think it was somewhere in there is about when they said it just suddenly dropped off the air. But then, the 1st of October, I have to go back to England. I'll be doing a UFO conference in St. Anne's, England, which is very near Blackpool. I'm going to have 4 days there when I don't have anything going on, and I'm trying to set up something in Dublin because we're so close at that point. It hasn't been working out yet, but I know I'll fill those days before I get over there. But then after that, I have to go back to Moscow, direct from England. And this time I'll be speaking in St. Petersburg, as well as Moscow. I'll be doing another class in Moscow. And the classes in Moscow take longer, because it has to go for 4 days instead of 3 days, because of the translation. And they want me to even make it 4.5-day class, so that's going to be a lot of work. But that'll take us into toward the end of October. I think I'll be back from that class. Then I've got some conferences and classes. I'll be doing a class in L.A. the 1st of November, and I think they've got a schedule for Burbank. So if anybody is interested in taking any of my hypnosis classes, you can contact us either through our website or on our toll-free number, because this will be the last one in the United States this year, the one in L.A. in Burbank. So if you're interested in that class, we'll have the regular class and the advanced class both. And you can call 1-800-935-0045, 1-800-935-0045, or you can look it up on our website, which is, you know, Ozark Mountain Publishing, and that's ozarkmt.com, ozarkmt.com. or if you're overseas, it's OZARKMT.com. You can find out more about the class. Then after the class, the second week of November, I think it's the second weekend, I'm going to be doing the Edge Life Expo in Minneapolis. So if anybody's up in that area, I'll be lecturing up there. I'm going to be there for 2 days in Minneapolis with Gary Becker's Edge Life Expo. Then I thought after that I was going to be staying home for the rest of the year because I don't usually go anywhere when it comes around Thanksgiving or Christmas. That's the time I get to finally relax and not go anywhere. But I was surprised, and they always say, never say never. I got an email. They want me to come to Istanbul in Turkey, and that's the middle of November. We're having a very big conference over there, and it's going to be centered on focusing on 2012. So they want me to come and talk about that. So there's not going to be a lot of time getting over jet lag between each one of these three out-of-the-country trips. Just going to be one to the other. So I think when I get back from Istanbul, that's just a couple of days there. I'll be ready for the holidays where I can finally not have to do anything. But we're already booking into next year, so there's a lot going on, you know. But like they say, I'd rather be busy than sitting around twiddling your thumbs, being bored. I don't twiddle very good, I always say. I like to have something going on all the time. I'm always writing more books and running the company and seeing clients and having the classes. There's always plenty to do, plus having this show every week. So I'd rather have something going on, but it would be nice over the holidays. I don't have to go anywhere for a while. Okay. Now, I got all of that out of the way, I think. So now, there's some other things I wanted to talk to you about. When we had the conference, I talked about the different speakers that were there. One I forgot to talk about, to mention, was Haynes Ely. He's a doctor friend of mine, and he has a clinic out in Grass Valley in California. He came to our conference to talk about John of God in Brazil. And he had an amazing video that he showed everyone. And I know I didn't speak about that when I was talking about the ones who were the speakers. But he knows John of God in Brazil very well. Those of you who are not acquainted with who John of God is, he's a psychic surgeon. And, you know, the psychic surgeons are the ones that don't, you know, not like regular surgery. It's all done magically, really, that where they can heal the people, well, without any surgery or invasion of the body or the way regular normal medicine is done. And he's very famous, and he sees about 2,000 people a day at his place in Brazil. Well, Haynes Ely became acquainted with him years ago. And he was down there all the time, and he helped assist John of God. And he became so interested in it that he built a house down there, very near where John of God does his work. So Haynes goes down there every month and takes part in all the things that are going on. He also helps arrange trips of anybody who wants to go and experience this. He helps arrange the airplanes and the bus to take the people from the airport to the hotels and to get them out there. But he said it's quite a ways out. And in the video, he was showing us what the place looked like. I've met several people who work with John of God who have come and taken my classes, and I've had sessions with them. But this was the first time I'd ever seen the video. And, you know, we had 400 people at our conference, and, boy, that video was really something. And some of the people, it was freaking them out. They couldn't really take it. But he has had these videos analyzed, and they cannot say how this could be faked at all. And he had the camera right up where he was right next to John of God. You could see his hands. You could see everything he was doing. So there's no way it could have been faked. like a magician would do or anything like that. And in the video, too, John of God has short sleeves on, too. He's a younger man than I thought he was going to be. I guess because he's been around for so long, I thought he was much older. Appeared to be maybe 50s, maybe if he's that old. But a lot of the work is done with energy. Just being in John of God's presence, I think he goes into a type of trance, and that's where the work is done through him, because they said afterwards he doesn't really remember a lot of what happened. But you imagine being in trance just about all day, every day, for day after day after day, seeing all of these people. There's an outer room where the people come in, and as they walk through that, some of them are healed just coming into that part before they get into where John of God is. And the ones who have come up and taken my classes and had sessions with me said they're part of the energy keepers, I guess you would say, that sit in that room. They line both sides of the room, and they just sit there in meditation or trance holding a certain type of energy. And, you know, group energy is greatly multiplied. So they're holding that in that room as the people walk through the room or they come in and sit down. So some of them are just healed just by being in that focused group energy, which shows what the mind can really do. But then when they got in with John of God, if they want, they can experience many different things that he does. And Haynes said he's not really sure why he does these things, but they do produce healings, but they're very strange. He showed one thing he does where he scraped the cornea of the person's eyes with an old knife, and the person is just laying there. They're not anesthetized. They may be in a self-induced trance or something, but they don't feel a thing. And doctors on the video were saying that's absolutely impossible to do that because the cornea is about the most sensitive area of the human body. You couldn't touch it without causing extreme pain. But yet they're scraping it off. And this produces different kinds of healing. But there's no scars. There's no no after effects at all. And another thing he had would be put up the nose and twisted. And you would think this would cause pain. Some of the people watching this video, it was really freaking them out. They said, oh my gosh. But Haynes said, they don't feel anything. The person just lays there. And they say afterwards, they didn't really feel anything. And it produces different kinds of healing effects in the body. Now, everyone who goes down there doesn't have to experience that type of healing. That's just for the bravest ones, I guess, or the most daring who want to try something new. Because when it was over, they got the person up, and they would take them over and let them sit down, give them some water. And there were different effects that would happen to the body as the healing continued. But they had no pain or after effects from what they did. That's what Haynes said. This is a very startling video to watch. He has taken it to many medical conventions. He's been trying to let other doctors know, you know, about this type of psychic healing. But, you know, being doctors, there's a lot of them that don't want to accept it or don't understand it. And so they don't want to really look at it or talk about it. He only has a few that are interested in exploring the unknown like this. So anyway, he was one of the speakers that was at our conference that I didn't get to talk about. It was a fantastic conference, and we're going to do it again next June. We're already lining up our speakers for it. So that's one that I wanted to bring up before I went any further. Okay, now I was trying to think, what am I going to talk about? It's just me tonight. So, there are some things that are happening in my work that are kind of taking it a different direction. that I don't fully understand the full impact of it at this point, but I know it's definitely going in a different direction than we have gone before. And this, of course, is going to be reflected in my lectures and the things that I talk about when I'm on my trips, because I am learning more. You know, you never know it all. And every time I think I've got all the answers, they surprise me. They'll give me another piece of something that I'd never heard before and start my mind going off in a different direction. Because it's impossible to know it all while you're alive anyway. But it's like they're finally giving us more and more pieces of the puzzle, I guess you would say. Now, in my work, I see hundreds and hundreds of people. Over the 30 years I've been doing this consistently, I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But in a few months, it's not unusual for me to see 100 people. And they come from all over the world. There's a little bitty town here in Arkansas. And I don't encourage this because I think it's a hardship on them. But their motivation is so high. The majority of them are looking for physical healings. And we've had miracles happen every day in my office. But it's not only physical, it's all kinds of reasons that they want to come. So we have hundreds of people coming all the time. So with that many people, I'm beginning to see different patterns emerge. I guess because I see so many, much more than the average hypnotist or therapist, I can see patterns that they wouldn't see. It would take them longer, I guess, to have a comparison between the different people. Some of these things I'm going to be talking about in this last half hour here are going to go into the new book, The Convoluted Universe, Book 4, and I'm still getting information. It's still pouring out of people for that. But that's what I'm saying. A different pattern is coming up. Now, I don't have all the pieces yet. I'm probably making some wrong assumptions that will be straightened out as we go along, but that's the way this work works. But in my work, people come with all kinds of problems. Everybody that comes has something they're looking for help with. I said there's a lot of physical problems. But also there's family problems, there's karmic problems with their wives, their husbands, their family, and there's also problems with their work. They've all got something that they want to discuss with me. And during the time I'm with them, I encourage them to tell me all about their life. So I hear a lot, and a lot of it, that's what the counseling is, just trying to talk to these people. Get them to look at the situation in a little different way. Because sometimes when you're too close to something, you don't really see it. So I'm finding it used to be, you know, I take the person back to the past life first. And then we go to the part about the subconscious where you can have all the answers to everything. And that's where you get the healing. And that's where my information comes through when I get to the subconscious. But before we do that, we always go to a past life first, and you can have some answers there. And I always tell the person, you can go to a hypnotist and have a past life regression. It's not difficult to do if they know how to do it. But a lot of them, that's as much as they will do, just the past life, and then they stop there. They either don't realize you can take it further, or they don't know how to do it. The past life is the tip of the iceberg. It's the very, very beginning. You get some information, but the bulk of it comes from the subconscious part. So, over all these years, people were coming, and we would go to the past life. Because in my work, I have the subconscious take the person to the most appropriate past life. Because everyone presumably has had hundreds and hundreds of lives. You've been everything. You have to be everything before you're finished in this school that we're in here. You can't graduate until you have been absolutely everything. So you have to go through the entire school. And it's the kind of a school where you can't skip a grade, but you can have to repeat a grade. And I've had people who have come in who have patterns to where they are repeating the same grade over and over and over again for the last four or five lives because they're with the same people making the same mistakes, coming back again and again and again, thinking, maybe now we'll get it right. This time you be the husband, I'll be the wife, or you be the mother, I'll be the daughter. Maybe that way we can work it out. So they get stuck in a pattern. They get stuck in a rut. And a lot of them still aren't working it out. They haven't even realized what's going on. That's what I call the baggage and the garbage. It's the karma that the person carries around with them. They're carrying all this junk around with them, and they're not letting it go. So they're stuck in that. I say they're stuck on the karmic wheel. And you can't go on to the next class, the next grade, until you finish this, until you've learned what you finally came here to learn. And they don't care how long it takes. If you don't get it this time, you're going to come back and do it again. Same people, same problems, sometimes even a little worse. But they don't care how long it takes. You have eternity. But do you really want to take that long to work out something? Or would you rather get it over with, and then you can, next time, go move, maybe even this lifetime, go on to the next grade, the next lesson, which may or may not be easier. It might be harder, but at least it'll be different. But you get out of that rut. You get out of that pattern. So that's what I was seeing. I see a lot of people like that. And I let the subconscious take the person to the most appropriate lifetime, the most appropriate time and place to answer the questions to the problems in this lifetime. Because I don't know where it's going to be, so I couldn't even begin to try to lead them anywhere. And they definitely don't know where the source of the problem is coming from. So rather than just do past life regression just for curiosity or something like that, I'd rather let the subconscious take the person to the most appropriate time and place to answer the questions for their problems now, whatever is causing the physical ailment or whatever is going on in their life. So that's the way I work. Well, it's been working fine over all these years. People would go back to the lifetimes, and I would have no idea where it was going to be. I just go along and ask questions, and then they come up with the answers. So I've been doing that all these years, but now something strange has been happening in the last few years, and everything is taking a different turn, because not as many of them are going to past lives. They used to all go to past lives. Now they're not, especially those from like in the 50s. Their ages are in the 50s on down. These are the ones I've found are the ones in the three waves, as I call them, of volunteers who volunteered to come to Earth. Those are the ones who are all of a sudden not sticking to the pattern. They're bringing in new elements here. Because the only ones I'm finding now who do go back to a past life are those who have something they still have to work on, and they're being shown what that is. These other people are either going to back to the source where they were created. They go back to God, and they all describe it as the same way, the same place. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. They don't want to leave there because it is so utterly beautiful, and they have never been to Earth before. I used to think you couldn't come to Earth as a fresh new soul because it would be too hectic. So I never believed anyone on Earth was here for the first time. Well, that shows that my thinking had changed, because I'm finding now that many of these are new souls who have never been caught up in the wheel of karma on our Earth. They are new souls who are coming in, and they are coming direct from God, direct from the source, which is total love and total beauty. And other ones that I'm finding who are in here for the first time have always lived on other planets, other dimensions. And they're coming in to Earth for the first time. And this started about those who are in their 50s is when I first noticed. That's when I talked about the three waves. Because when they're under, and I usually ask them, well, they said, we're here for the first time. You know, we just came direct from the source, and they describe it. I said, well, if it's so beautiful there, why did you decide to come to Earth? They all say the same thing. They say, we heard the call. And when I asked what they mean, they said, the call went out for volunteers. They said, the Earth is in trouble. It needs help. It needs fresh blood. It needs fresh energy that has not been caught up in the wheel of karma. Fresh energy that has not been contaminated. Because they said, Earth, the people on Earth have been here for so many, many, many lives, making the same mistakes over and over again. And they're stuck in that pattern, stuck in that rut. And it's very difficult for them to get out of that because they've been in it for so many thousands and thousands of years. See, this is really why Jesus came. He came to show people how they could get off of that wheel of karma to climb up the ladder, to finally get where they can graduate. If he came to save us from anything, he came to us to save us from the wheel of karma, kind of show people how they could get out of this, because we were not making any improvement. And that's been 2,000 years ago, and we're still not making it that much improvement, because we're still stuck on that wheel of karma. So the idea was, how are you going to save the Earth with all the horrible things people are doing to the Earth with this old mindset that they keep making the same mistakes again and again, and they can't get out of that? The only way was to bring in new souls, fresh souls, who had never been caught up in the wheel of karma to where they were contaminated. And so the call went out for volunteers. Earth is in trouble. Will you want to go and help? And they said, many, many of them from all over the universe said they would come and help. They came direct from the source, direct from God. They came from other planets, other dimensions. And they had meetings. See, I found all this out with my session. They all report the same thing. They had meetings where they were instructed, and they told them this is not going to be easy. Earth is a challenging planet. It's one of the most difficult planets in the universe to live on because it has such, there's such density here. They said there's, Earth is a challenging planet. You come here to learn emotions and limitations, but it's just not a good place to live. And they said they greatly respect anyone who volunteers to come and live on Earth. It takes a great deal of courage to do that. And I've had so many clients that say, I don't want to be here. I don't like Earth. It's not a nice place. I want to go somewhere else. But they did volunteer. But they were warned before they came in, this is heavy density. It's not going to be easy. But if you go in, it will advance your soul to a great deal. And you'll also be there to help turn the world around. Just by the mass of numbers, if we get more and more of these new souls coming in, that will outweigh the old souls that are stuck in the karmic wheel. That was the idea. Kind of like the 100th monkey syndrome. If you get enough new thoughts coming in, you could change everything. So all these people volunteered. Then, of course, they didn't remember it. Nobody ever does. And they get in here. I've had them go into the body and they'll say, what was I thinking of? This is awful. It's density. And people are mean to each other here. They say, this is hell. Earth is hell. So it's very difficult for them when they come in. But they've got to remember they did volunteer for this job. So in order to make it easier for them, they have had something like a coating, I guess you would say. They call it a sheath in some of the sessions, put around the person to protect them from karma. Because all they want to do is get in here, do their job, help with saving the earth, and then get out of here. They don't want to be stuck here. So they definitely don't want to create karma, so they'll have to keep coming back. Do the job, get out here, and that's all they want to do. So a lot of these people, if they do marry, many of them don't have children. Because children create karma, and that would hold them here. So all they want to do is just do the job and get out. And it's very, very difficult for them. And I've written about these people in Keepers of the Garden and also in the new Convoluted Universe Book 3. I have a whole section on what I call first-timers and the difficulty they have had. There's been three waves of these that I have discovered. And I don't know if I have enough time to go into the identification of each one. It's in the book. It's in Convoluted 3. But the first one were the ones who are now in their early 50s. And they were the bravest of them all because they were the way showers, the first one to come in, the first ones to volunteer. And they had the hardest time adjusting. It was like, I don't want to be here. This is an awful place. I want to go home, but I don't know where home is. And many of these people in their earlier years, teenage and beyond that, if they got out of school, many of them tried to commit suicide because they really didn't want to be here. So that's the way Earth affected those type of people in the first wave. The second wave now, I guess, would be from 20s, 30s, that age group. I'd be a little bit older because all these groups are growing older as I work with them. Those are the ones that came after the first group. I call the second wave. They have had it easier. They still don't want to be stuck here. They don't want children either. But they don't have as hard of a time. They are what are called the antennas, the generators. That energy goes through them to be passed to other people. They said they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is be. If they could walk through a mall or a grocery store, their energy will affect everybody that they come in contact with. That's what they're supposed to do, spread this kind of energy. It's a new loving energy that has to generate to people if they're going to change. And they don't realize anything has happened unless they are very sensitive. But the second wave are the ones, usually their lives are very simple. They don't have any problems. And very, you know, nonchalant people. And they're the ones in the second wave, the ones who are just here to bring in the focused energy, generate it as an antenna, and pass it on to other people. And then we're all aware of the third wave. Those are the new children. And there's more and more of those are coming in all the time. But when I spoke at conferences where they are have the new children, they have boards, you know, panels. Some of them are now in their early teens, 13 and like that. And they're growing older. But these are the bright ones. These are the hope of the world. These are the ones they're calling crystal children, indigo children. That doesn't really identify them. They're just the new children. Mary Rodwell in Australia, my friend over there who's an investigator in this, she calls them the new kids on the block. So they have come in, but the teachers don't understand them because they're different. They're coming in with a great deal of knowledge. They are way, way above the adults because they didn't have to go through all this karma and all these patterns and stuck on the wheel. And their DNA has already been changed to where they are where they're supposed to be. So this is a very amazing group. Those are the three waves that have come in. These are the volunteers. And they were very worried for a long time that were they going to be able to help the world by doing this, because with the drastic idea to bring in new souls, fresh souls who have never known violence, who have never been caught up in this. But in the sessions I'm getting now, they're saying, yes, we've finally done it. We have enough now that we're beginning to change we're tipping the scales toward the positive, and that now we think everything is going to work out. We have enough of the positive ones that we can change the world. And I've talked before about we're changing the vibration and the frequency of the Earth as we shift into the new dimension. And these are all helping with that, because as this kind of an energy increases and it catches on with all the other people, the older ones, the ones who are still caught up in the old karmic wheel, are being affected by these younger people. Although 50 nowadays is not that young, but imagine how many years now all of this has been coming in to help change, just by the accumulation of their energy to change the world. And they said, finally, it's beginning to make a difference. It's beginning to shift the whole thing. I was going to go into some of the things I'm finding out with the UFO stuff now is related to all of this. And this is what the other investigators have never understood, is the aliens, ET's role in this entire thing that's been going on for now. I guess this is going to be about 50 years, all this whole plan that's been going on. And we've heard so much about the abductions and all of that. And I've spoke at every UFO conference in the world, and I've written my books on UFOs, and the one on custodians was my 20 years of working in this subject. I thought I had all of the answers. To me, it's positive, because I was getting a great deal of information. But now I'm even getting more information that makes even more sense. I still see it as positive, because I'm seeing the reasons for all these things happening. Now, they said, in the early abduction cases, there was a lot of sexual things going on, and there was talking about interbreeding, creating different kinds of babies and things, and nobody could really understand what that was. That has many different parts, but the part related to what I'm talking about, they said that they have to help create a body that will hold this type of energy. You imagine energy coming direct from the source, never been contaminated by Earth. It's very, very powerful energy. Then energy coming from other planets, too, is very, very powerful. And they said in the early days when they tried to bring this new soul into a human fetus, it would be so strong that the baby would abort because it couldn't handle the energy. And the mother had to be worked with, too, so that her body could handle the energy of the incoming soul. So sometimes there would be abortion, you know, spontaneous abortions, because the baby couldn't handle the energy that was coming in. So they had to work with this. And they finally were able to bring part of the soul in. Now, some of this may be hard for you to understand, but I explain a lot of this in my Convoluted Universe book. It's complicated, but sometimes all of the soul cannot come in at one time because it's too powerful of an energy. So when it comes in as a baby, they let part of it come in so that the baby can survive and adjust to the energy as it moves into the human. And then as they get older, more adjustments have to be made to handle more of the energy as the child grows older. This explains some of the continuing contact that the person has that they remember. Now, I've told people, you're really not supposed to remember anything, but they said, because of the way the human brain is set up, the chemistry in our brain, it's the additives in our food, the pollutants in the air, if you're on drugs or if you're on alcohol, then you may remember the experience, but you'll remember it in a distorted fashion. Distorted, not really the way it happened. It's coming through that chemical filter of the brain, and the person will perceive that something bad has been done to them, when actually it wasn't. And I've worked on many, many of these cases, and we found out the real story of what was happening, not at all what they thought it was going to be. So, then every one of these cases where they have had the ET experiences, I've always volunteered. They're one of these volunteers that said, I'll go, I'll do this. Because they told me, when you're on the other side and you're beginning to make your plan, that you're going to come on into this earth, you make a plan of what it is you hope to accomplish. And at that time, the ETs will be there talking to you, and they'll say, this is a program we're going to be involved with while you're alive. Do you want to be a participant? And they will always volunteer, and they sign a contract. So later, when the person says, I don't like this, I want out of this, they will say, well, you signed this contract. Don't you remember you agreed to do this? But I'm trying to help you to understand. Can you see what was happening? They volunteered to come in to be a part of this program to save the Earth. That's why the ETs have had to have ongoing contact. Now, the initial abductions are not happening like they used to. There used to be a lot of them because that was part of the breeding program to get the bodies to where they could handle the incoming souls. There's also more things to it. I don't have time to go into all of it. But they are part of that program. So now you're not hearing about as many abductions. What's happening now is a maintenance program. They are helping take care of the bodies that have already here, that have volunteered, to keep them healthy, to make adjustments to the bodies, to handle the different energies. I've had people email me and talk about having what they called abductions, to where the person had cancer or something, and they were healed. And they said, well, yeah, I was healed, but I didn't tell them they could do it. Now, that's a funny way to look at it. They heal you, and you're angry because you didn't tell them they could do it. I had a man who was in a car, and they stopped the car, and they helped, got him out and worked on him. And he had something wrong with his back. Well, they healed his back, but he was angry. He said, I didn't tell them they could work on me. I didn't tell them they could do that. So, but they're always saying, you gave us permission, you volunteered. So any abductions that are going on now are maintenance programs of the body to keep the body healthy so it can do the job it has to do in this new world we're going into. And there's a lot of things that have been put into the mind that the person doesn't even know about, that they will be able to use this information when they get to this point. As we go into the new earth, all the information will be there, and it has been put there by the ETs, by the different, like I call them, the ones I worked with, and it'll be there, and you'll have it whenever you need it, and the time comes, and you won't even know where it came from. That's the beauty of this and the amazing thing of it. This is the kind of information I'm getting now. It's like the UFO phenomena is finally becoming understandable in my eyes, and it's getting to a point that's different than anybody else has come up with. So this will go into convoluted four, and I'll be lecturing more on this as I go to these different countries. But now we're running out of time again. We're coming to the end of the hour. Funny how fast it goes. I didn't think I'd have anything to talk about. I do want to make one mention. My show next week is going to be really interesting. I'm having a man come on to discuss the Philadelphia Experiment. And those of you who don't know what the Philadelphia Experiment is, go to BBS website and click on my page, and you'll find out about the man I'm having come on. He has information that nobody knows. It's new information about the Philadelphia Experiment and the government's involvement. So that'll be an interesting show, and that's next week. So for tonight, anyway, I gave you something to think about. We'll see. But if you want to find out about my classes, on my schedule, check with Ozark Mountain, OZARKMT.com, or call my telephone number in our office, 1-800-935-0045. Okay, good night, everybody.